In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book, The Gulag Archipelago, where he recounts the horrors of the Soviet hard labor camps and his own time spent there, he has assembled a number of very instructive stories about people who spent time in those camps. And among them, there's a story about one of the simple Orthodox believers, an older woman, who was one of the quiet millions, that he called them, the quiet millions of believers who came in quietly, lived quietly, died quietly in the camps. But in her case, and a special exception in her case, she survived the camps, and this is the story of that. One of the soldiers derisively said to her, "All right, Auntie, what's your article and term?" as he lined them up one day in the morning. And she said, "What do you mean?" quite simply. And he said, "Well, what are you here for and for how long?" He meant, you know, what article of the code did you violate and how many years do you have on your term? And she replied simply, "I'm here for all my sins and I'm here until God decides I've paid for them with my suffering and repentance." And about 2-3 years later, it was that suddenly, out of the blue, a letter came from Moscow saying that Auntie was to be released for no apparent reason. So that simplicity of her faith, the belief that she was suffering for her sin and that God would accept her suffering and her repentance and do with her whatever was right, that's a call to us to the same simplicity, to the same acts of repentance and prayer and fasting right now. And we see this in the life of Saint Mary as well, that as she went about her life of sin and then attempted to approach the holy and to come into the church to venerate the precious cross, we heard last night in Vespers that the pollution of past sins prevented thee from entering the church to see the elevation of the holy cross. But then thy conscience and the awareness of thine actions turned thee, O wise in God, to a better way of life. And having looked upon the icon of the Blessed Maid of God, thou hast condemned all thy previous transgressions, O Mother, worthy of all praise, and so hast gone with boldness to venerate the precious cross. It's appropriate for us to, as many have, to look to St. Mary and to ask her intercessions, especially in this time when we are prevented, or many of the faithful are prevented from entering the church. And I can't say to you exactly why it is that this has all happened. We have ample examples in Holy Scripture, especially the Old Testament, wherein God says that in response to unbelief and the violations of his commandments and the going after of other gods, which is anything we put before God, that he would send upon his people pestilences and plagues and enemies and death and all kinds of terrible things. Those were the curses which accompanied the law. As the law had the blessings, it also had the curses. And so it could well be that we are experiencing God's curse for our sins, and of course not just because he wants to only to punish and to kill, but because he wants to draw back to himself those who have departed into error, those who have become lost in a mire of sin. Sometimes the only way to bring us back is through some sort of terrifying awakening from that stupor. And that might be, as a nation, as a world, what's happening now, but I don't presume to say precisely. God's will is inscrutable to us. But we can look to St. Mary and see at least that she had a good thought when she was barred from entry. The good thought, it's for my sins. For my sins, I can't enter. And she immediately repented from her whole heart for her sinfulness. And there are comparisons being drawn between us and her at this time, as so many are kept out of the church. And there's something we need to be guarded about when we compare ourselves to saints. Obviously, we fall far short of the saints' virtues and of their contrition and the sincerity of their life of repentance. So we can see in her an example, but it's an example that has to be imitated. It's not enough to say, "I'm not going to church and that makes me like St. Mary." There are no accidental ascetics. If you're going to live an ascetic life, you have to do it purposefully, and it will come at some great cost to yourself. It'll be a painful, it'll require some blood being shed. And that's precisely what she was willing to do. She went, it says, crossing another stikira, we heard at the Lord I have cried stikira last night, crossing the stream of Jordan with eagerness, thou hast gone to live in the dwelling place of the Baptist. Thou hast tamed the savagery of the passions through thine ascetic way of life, and boldly thou hast broken the rebelliousness of the flesh, O Mother, ever glorious. The wilderness is used as an image of the arena where we do battle with first the internal temptations and passions, and then also those external temptations, and with the enemy himself. So, but when you step into the arena, it doesn't make you a skilled warrior. If I get into a boxing ring today, I'm not going to be ready to face anybody because I haven't been trained and I haven't put in the work. So if we're going to step into this arena of the wilderness, which we are being forced to right now, many of the faithful are, then we have to do so purposefully, setting out to cross the Jordan, to enter the wilderness, and to do battle. And we also heard at the Apostolica last night, the desires of thy soul, speaking of St. Mary, and the passions of thy flesh, thou hast cut down with the sword of abstinence. Thy sinful thoughts thou hast choked with the silence of the ascetic life. With the streams of thy tears thou hast watered all the wilderness and caused the fruits of repentance to spring up for us. Therefore, O Saint, we celebrate thy memory. This language of streams of tears watering the wilderness is reminiscent of the Triparion we sing for any of the wilderness dwellers, for instance, Abba Piman of the Desert Fathers. We sing in the first line of his Tripar, with streams of thy tears thou didst irrigate the barren desert. There was a man who asked a priest, and if you know the source of this story, I'd be glad to learn it, but I can't remember myself. But a man said to the priest, "Father, is it really necessary that I should go to church all the time? God's everywhere." And the father said to him, "Yes, my son, God's everywhere, but if you want, and just as water is in the atmosphere, you have to go to the river to get a drink." So God is everywhere. We can encounter him wherever we may be, but if we want to drink of his presence and quench the spiritual thirst, then we have to go to the river. In normal life of an Orthodox Christian, the river to which you go is the church. Within the church, you receive the holy mysteries. The very atmosphere of the church is one which imparts a sense of grace and prayerful contrition, and it lifts us up out of the barrenness of the desert of our daily life in the world, and it brings us, it draws us close to God. So the first and best river from which you ought to drink, and which we pray by God's mercy in some great miracle we will be restored to soon, is the river of the church and all the grace of God which flows through her, with the Holy Spirit abiding in her. And yet there's also this example. If we will take up this cross, we could water the barrenness of the desert of our hearts and of our homes and of our life in the world. We could water it with our tears. We could irrigate it so that even there a river of God's grace would flow. So our home life and our family church often is a barren desert. We feel this acutely, and it's why we so often long to go to church. At home, where we encounter so many common temptations and afflictions, and our relations with others around us, which are not what they ought to be. And so it's a bit wearying at times, and we feel empty by the end of a week. And many times people say to me, "This is how I fill up again, Father. I go to church." And I've heard this, people sorrowfully telling me this now in the time of their separation from the church. "This is how I am filled up again, and I feel so empty." And I understand that it is often the way of things, but it's not the only way that it must be or can be. But how do we go about irrigating this desert? Well, first, we should renew our commitment to our Lenten fast. And the Lenten fast is not just one of dietary restriction, though of course that's a big part of it, but it's also the fasting from worthless entertainment, from excessive reading of news, from our excessive use of social media, our phones in general, fasting from our idle talk and evil speech to others, and in general, all excesses which scatter our minds and rob us of the peace that we had when we first left our prayer corner in the morning. And we each need to examine our conscience and our hearts with prayer to God, that we would see these things, that they would become clear to us. In general, we need to guard our senses in order to fast properly. What we're listening to, watching, talking about. We should be daily praying together as a family. in the morning and the evening, to gather together in our icon corners and to pray with one another, to light a candle there if we can't light it here in the church. We ought to be reading from the gospel every day, which is one of the principal means by which we nourish our souls. And if you read the book, The Way of a Pilgrim, the pilgrim takes with him just a few things: his prayer rope, his gospel, and a book that had some sayings of from the Philokalia, the sayings of the Holy Fathers. And this book, gospel, he treasured more than any other possession, and he would read from it every day and at great length. Well, we could at least manage, with all of the extra time we have, to be reading from the gospel daily. We ought to be fasting and giving alms. There are organizations, Orthodox organizations and others, that are working hard to care for those in need. And so while the doctors and nurses are expressly asking us, please don't go out, that's the best thing you can do for us, is don't end up at the hospital, we can be supporting them through our prayers. We should be increasing our prayers, adding prayers for the health and salvation of the ailing from the virus, of the doctors, nurses, and caregivers who attend to them, of the grieving families, of all who are in grievous need as a result of this. So praying for them and giving alms to those organizations like IOCC or Fund for Assistance and others that are doing active work to support those in need. We should be praying Typica on Sunday if we're not able to go to church, and Father John's charity and his continuous commitment to working for people's salvation, he's been putting out the Typica in a complete form on our e-bulletin. If you're not on that, you can contact me and I'll help you get on it. But pray the Typica on Sunday or watch the live stream. But if you choose to watch the live stream, you ought to do this in your icon corner if possible, with a candle lit, standing with reverence and attention, just as you would in the church, not treating it any differently. And then you can use this time to really truly prepare for confession. And often we arrive at confession feeling a bit unprepared and not having given some careful thought to it. But gather yourself and your attention in your prayer corner and pray to God, Lord, reveal to me my secret sins and help me to make a good confession. And you can, with the reading of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, with the reading of the Holy Beatitudes of Christ in Matthew 5, you can use those to stir up your conscience and your memory of those things you have done and those things you haven't done in your daily Christian life that need to be confessed before God with the priest as witness. And then let the priest know that you'd like to give confession and you'd like to receive Holy Communion. And this can be arranged. The Holy Communion can be brought to you in your home, and the priest can advise you about your preparations for that. And also ask forgiveness and give forgiveness to those that perhaps you've been resisting this call. Now more than ever, we need to be, again, irrigating the barrenness of our hearts. And we irrigate that each time we shed a tear for our sins. We release that bitterness we've been holding on to toward another person when we begin to plow the furrows in the heart through all of these spiritual activities. Then the barrenness and the barrenness of that home life or that heart can be watered by God's grace. And in confirmation of all these words, I'll read briefly from the Holy Elders of Optima. St. Nikon says, it is necessary for a person to personally begin a new life according to the understanding of the Holy Gospel and the Holy Church of Christ, both in one's outward actions and in one's souls. And also St. Nikon says, we must strive so that all our life as a whole, and not certain hours and days, is based on the law of God. We must arrange all of our activities so that they are in agreement with the will of God. Only under these conditions will our heart be pure, and only the pure in heart will see God. And may God, by his great grace, grant us all that we might see him on the radiant day of his resurrection, whether in this church or there in the small church of our homes.